This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Good evening, friends. There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it. We all believe this. The question is, why don't we use this power more effectively? If all things are possible to faith, why don't we then have a greater faith? And if affirmative prayers are answered, why don't we always pray affirmatively? Now let's try to figure out just how we can better cooperate with this law of good, which does things to us and for us. Of course, first of all, we must believe that there is such a law, and we must believe that our faith, our prayer, or our word, whatever we choose to call it, is acted on by a power greater than we are. And the only way to prove this is to use this power and see what happens. It has been demonstrated beyond question that when we do this, and when our thought is affirmative, then something does happen. And of course, the only reason for this is that we are surrounded by a creative power, call it what you will, which responds to us. And since it responds to us, it will have to respond to us in the way that we use it. As it says in the Science of Mind magazine, which we publish, whatever we think faith is or may be, it must be something that we do within our consciousness, even though we feel it has a relationship with something greater than we are. This quotation, taken from the Science of Mind magazine, is from the November number. And faith then starts with something. Faith starts with ourselves. Faith, then, like doubt or fear, being non-physical, has to be a mental thing. Someone will say it is a spiritual thing, it is a prayer, or a hymn of praise, doesn't matter what we call it. If we did not have a conscious mind, we could not exercise a prayer or a faith. We could not have a prayer, and we could not sing a hymn of praise. Faith, then, is within our own awareness, something that is taking place in us right now. And I don't mean something unreal or imaginary, but something that is actual. What kind of thought, then, should we have if we are going to have a thought opposite to fear, one that will be an affirmative thought, one that will really do something? Faith we have to exercise would be like planting a seed, accept this as a conviction, and let it go, something that we think in our own mind but release. It is faith in a power greater than we are, and in a law that operates. It is an acceptance of the invisible. Faith is not merely a generalization. Faith is a form of thought and an affirmative thought. And let's try to figure out just how we would use this and in so doing cooperate with this divine power, this principle, this law of good greater than we are that reacts to our thinking. First, I think we should begin with the thought that we are really united with invisible forces that are creative, that already we are one with a universal mind which can do anything. Next, I think we should consider that we are centers of self-conscious awareness, people, individuals in this mind, and that the sum total of our thinking is either silently attracting or repelling. The third is that we can change our thinking, and in so doing, cause the law of good to act for us in an affirmative way, rather than in a negative manner, because faith itself is an affirmation. Faith is an affirmation that good is greater than evil. It says in this article in the Science of Mind, which You probably will find at your nearest newsstand, or we would be very happy to send you a copy if you wish to write your name and address, and address it right here, KMLA, Los Angeles 26. It says that faith is a conscious affirmation, something that believes in its own statement. Very often people will say to us, how do you know that we can use such a power? Well, we use this power every time we plant a seed, every time we turn on an electric light, every time we use any law in nature, and we are always using a power greater than we are. We are always using powers to which our united intelligence is as nothing. So then let's start with our first idea, that we are united with these invisible forces which are creative, and that already we are one with a universal mind. We are surrounded by a creative mind which really reacts to our thinking. This is the basis of all faith and all effective prayer. And since prayers have been answered, we may accept that this is certain. This is why Jesus told us to believe when we pray that we already have what we desire. And when Jesus said it is done unto us as we believe, he implied that there is a power that can and will and must react to us. There won't be any question about it. And that this power has no choice other than to react to us in an affirmative way. Therefore, this power reacts to us as we believe, exactly as we think. It reacts as though it were a mirror. We are surrounded by this mirror of life, which is really the creative power of the whole universe. This power acts as a law operating on our thought and our belief. This is why it is that when we pray or make our affirmation or meditate, we should do so affirmatively, and we should do it in the present time. We must think or say it is now. Up until the time of Jesus, it had been believed that God might help us, that there were concessions he might make if we pleased him or if we performed certain rites or ceremonials. But Jesus changed this supposition into certainty. He had a new kind of thought, a new kind of teaching that today we call affirmative thinking. He said simply and directly that there is a power that operates on our thought in the way we think it, and that we may, if we believe this, see definite results as a result of definite thinking. So we find that faith is right here. It is an affirmation, an affirmative attitude. As our article in The Science of Mind says, there is a power that operates on our thought, and we can use it consciously and definitely and intelligently and for specific purposes. Emerson said it is easy enough in the silence to do these things. But he said the great man is he who in the midst of the crowd can still keep with perfect sweetness the simplicity of his solitude. It is the very simplicity of this claim that Jesus made. He said, when you pray, believe that you have. He said simply and directly that there is a power that operates on this belief. Therefore, he added, be sure that you believe that you already have what you desire, and then the law of good will bring it to you. He said there is such a law. But even this law of good, which is all-powerful, can bring to us only as much good as we take. And this taking is an act of our own mind. It is a simple act of belief. No one else before Jesus had ever made this claim. And it is only within the last 100 years that people have come to believe and realize that he was talking about a principle in which all things are rooted, which operates on our faith As our article from the Science of Mind magazine says, there is a power greater than we are, and it must find a partnership with us and in us. That is, there must be an acceptance in our own mind. Perhaps we ask for something, or accept something, or affirm something, then it seems as though we are not going to get it. The thing is not going to happen. But right here we must continue to know that we are dealing with a power that causes the invisible to become visible. Now we are not holding thoughts. We are not merely creating a thought pattern. That is why our thought is creative, because we do not have to hold thoughts or project things. We merely have to think them. It is done unto us as we believe. That is because there is a power greater than we are, which is operating on our belief. Jesus did not deny that the power can and will do everything, but of course he stipulated it is done unto us as we believe. Now it is the very simplicity of this claim that causes us to overlook its deep and dynamic meaning. Jesus really was saying this. He was saying you are surrounded by a mind and a power, an intelligence or a principle that receives the impress of your thought and acts on it just as you think. Your thought is like an image held in front of a mirror. The mirror will reflect the image exactly as you think it. The mirror itself is merely a law reflecting back to you what you do think. Now we come to our second proposition. We are thinking centers in a creative mind, and the sum total of all our thoughts is either silently attracting our good or repelling it. And since this is so, let us consider certain attitudes of thought that ought to be salutary. For instance, in this present number, the November issue of The Science of Mind, which you will probably find in the newsstand near you, there is an article by a very great friend of mine, psychologist and author David Seabury. And the article is on the necessity of having an attitude of gratitude. He speaks as a psychologist when he says that gratitude is not a virtue. It is rather a part of a practical philosophy of life. And there is no wiser way of living than to remember every morning what life has given us and to lift up our spirit in thankfulness for everything that we possess. He said that there was a certain man whom he knew who prepared a 7-day mental diet, suggested one set aside a whole week in which no negative word was to be given. He was to refrain from all fault-finding, condemnation, and nothing was to be said that was critical about anyone or to anyone. For quite as many years, there has been a somewhat similar theory in the field of clinical psychology, Dr. Seabury says. We have suggested that every night one impresses thought upon his own mind, that in the morning, in the time of waking, he will remember all the good things that he possesses. This has been very valuable. It is interesting that you cannot get something for nothing. It is what you have that is the starting point from which the greater good must come. Whatever you begin with determines to a large measure where it comes from. And Dr. Seabury says, if you pour all the things you have not into your consciousness and think over them, you will start from less than nothing. For to what you have added a spirit of complaint. And of course, no intelligent person can assert that a focus of attention on what one has not is a way to get what one really wishes. Of course, Dr. Seabury is right, because it is the sum total of all our thinking that we have to consider. And in doing this, one of the first things to learn is that about 90% of our thinking is unconscious, goes on whether or not we are aware of it. They now tell us that perhaps 85% of our accidents are unconsciously invited, that at least 75% of our diseases are created unconsciously by this same creative principle within us, and that our success and failure in life is largely an unconscious thing, and of course our happiness or our misery is almost entirely so. You see, scientific investigation verifies that you and I are talking about a reality. Most of our thinking is unconscious. And here are where the habit patterns are caught and laid down even from infancy. And it should be our purpose to find out what these thought patterns are. And when they are unhappy or morbid or filled with fear, to change them, that the natural, normal flow of the life force itself may be resumed. Now at last we have the proposition where we can handle it, because we know what we are doing. And so we come to the third idea, and that is that we can change our thinking, and in so doing, cause the law of mind to act affirmatively instead of negatively for us. It may seem astonishing, but Jesus actually gave us a technique for this, and perhaps the greatest technique that ever was given in the whole history of the world. You may be certain that in this technique, he told us to think about the things that we would like to have happen, or as David Seabury says in The Psychologist's Outlook, taken from this November issue of the Science of Mind magazine, which possibly you have read or you may purchase from your newsstand. Dr. Seabury says that if you pore over all the things you haven't, you start with less than nothing. We have just read this, and the fact is so simple, it is such complete logic, that one would suppose that the turning of his attention from discontent over one's lack to a constructive campaign to acquire one's desires would be a universal process. You would think everyone would do this. But Dr. Seabury says this is not so. For more people submerge themselves in their displeasure and in their sense of lack and negation than actually give a constructive program to their own desires. The lives of millions of people, he says, are riddled with this self-undoing because of this morbid state. Such people are angry at others and about life and at God because they do not have what they want. As long as they are angry, their ability to gain what they want is compromised. This proposition is so simple that it really eludes us. You see, Jesus told us that when we pray, we should affirm our good and forget the evil. He told us that our faith in the good will be a power that obliterates the evil. Good and evil are not equal, because, of course, good overcomes evil. The affirmative attitude will always overcome the negation, and this is why we are told to accent the positive and forget the negative. So Jesus told us that when we pray, we should be quiet, should enter into the closet of the self, close the door, and here make known our requests. And when we do this, we should be certain that we accept the answer and that we know we are going to receive it. When ye pray, believe that ye have and ye shall receive. This whole proposition is so simple that it eludes us. The sum total of our thinking really does decide, and what we actually think can change situations. Now, what more could we ask? What more could have been given? To learn how to think constructively, then, is to learn how to prove or demonstrate what we want. Now, many modern sciences are coming into close agreement with these things, and we should give a lot of care to what we are thinking about, and should actually guard our thoughts, because they are always bringing something to pass. For instance, here is a meditation from our Science of Mind magazine, which says, Today I give my attention to that which is in accord with the good, that which I want to have manifest in my experience. And I realize that there is no necessity for any appearance which is contrary to that. Consequently, I am free from every false sense of life. I have no sense of morbid responsibility or obligation. I rejoice in knowing that in all ways I am created to express life and happiness, and I do express the nature of God. This is merely an example taken from one of the daily meditations in this magazine, The Science of Mind, of how one ought to think every day. He ought to take definite time to do it. Going back now to our first proposition, that we are surrounded by a mind principle which acts creatively on our thinking, let's see if we can't make this the basis of our belief. We are surrounded by a mind principle which acts creatively on our thinking. Our first proposition is then one of faith. We must believe. But since it is natural that we should believe, and natural to have faith, when we find we lack these qualities, we now know what to do about it, because belief and faith are mental attitudes. And so if we practice affirmative daily prayer, affirmative daily thinking, by saying, I have faith, I do believe, I do know and understand that there is a power greater than I am, and I do realize that I can use this power, and that there is nothing in me which denies it or limits it, for my whole being accepts it. If we do this, we shall be preparing the mind to pray affirmatively, which means effectively. For if there is a principle which reacts to us or on our thinking or to our belief or prayer or whatever one chooses to call it, then it naturally follows. If we say it cannot, then it cannot because we won't let it. And if we say it can, then it can because we do permit it. And if we limit this power to a little good, it could not possibly give us a greater good. You see, the power itself is absolute, but the way we use it is relative. It would be exactly like going down to the ocean with a pint dipper. No matter how large the ocean is, you can only dip up a pint. We do not have to increase the size of the ocean. We do have to increase the dipper. We could take a pail or a barrel and it would all be the same. Well, our first thing then is to be certain that we believe. Science, revelation, intuition, experience teaches us that we may believe and that we ought to believe. And there is no reason why we should not, because what we believe is true. And right today, in our own country, there are many, many millions of people approving this. We can practice believing because thoughts are things. When we say, I believe and there is no doubt in me, we do two things. We affirm our belief, and by so doing, build a positive acceptance in the mind. And at the same time, we reject our doubt. This is the way that thought works. And realizing that so much of our thought is unconscious, we merely affirm that there is nothing in us that denies the good we have affirmed. Now, having done this, we are ready to entertain the next basic concept and see if we cannot actually bring ourselves to believe that we do right now have in the present, in our experience, the good that we desire, even though we do not see any possible way for it to happen. This also can be reduced to a simple method. You can say to yourself, if you wish to, and I can if I accept this good, I do believe in it. I do affirm the presence of love and friendship and happiness, of prosperity, of health, of peace, whatever the need may be. And nothing can deny it or reject it. Now, millions of people have proven this to be true. So you can, so I can. And you will find, after you have done this for a while, there will come into your mind a gradual acceptance of your own affirmation. And you will learn that as your thought builds up an affirmative attitude, things will begin to change in your environment. It may take a little while to change this. It may take a little time to change your own thought. You may have to develop a lot of courage. Knowing what you're dealing with, however, will give you a positive and definite something which you see and know and understand and actually can use right where you are. This, then, is using the creative power of your thought affirmatively. And since you are doing this consciously, and since you are directing your own thinking, it is just a question of choice and of practice. Every day you will find it a little easier. And as you gradually see the result of the creative power of your thought, you will come more and more to accept your own conclusions, more and more to trust in the method that you are using, and you will be fulfilling the greatest single teaching perhaps the world has ever had, that there is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and that you can use it.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.